One of the things he's saying is this: every time, everybody say every time. Every time you meet challenges or opportunities or difficulties or discouragements or encouragements in life, every time you must utter a word of prayer about that prophetic word or that situation you intensely desire or against the one that you don't like. Are you getting my point? Pray without what? Ceasing. It's a continual thing. It is what? A continual thing. You know, it's good to take time out to pray. All right? Especially, in fact, for me, that often is required when you have to make decisions. For example, maybe Kingdom World Ministries. I need to get direction and say, what are we doing? What are we supposed to be doing? Do you understand? Yes, it's good to take time out. Relax. You know, wake up in the morning. Take two slices of bread and a cup of sugar and water or a little bit of milk or something liquid to wash it down and start the fast. Amen? I mean it. I'm serious. I'll keep on saying it until people start practicing it. So, Pastor Bank, when you want to go on fast, you shouldn't eat anything. That's a lie. If you want to read the scriptures and pray and meditate, eat something. Hunger is going to be a distraction to your soul. You know, I've been saying it. I hope you are believing it. Well, you, since you won't believe it, those somebody else will believe this, who has not been corrupted by too much religion. Don't fry an egg with baked beans and sausage and Quaker oats. You understand what I'm saying? Or with okpa. Ah, gee, that one is really risky. Those ones will weigh you down. I'm talking about a little bit of glucose to keep the spangs away. It's good. Go and read Daniel. It is good. Then you settle in one corner and put off that your weapon of mass destruction. I was listening to, who was saying it now? Where was I listening to this? Was it here? That they said John Hagee refused to buy a GSM phone. Where was I listening to it? Was that last week? Where? Israel? Were you there? Okay, maybe it was the church I went to preach. Said, John Hagee refused to buy a GSM phone. That's a mobile phone. So if you want to get me, you have to get me on the seat or in the house. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't. If you're in Nigeria, there's no phone in your house or on your seat. It's only a mobile you have. I'm just trying to bring an issue. So you can afford to put it off. The world will not come to an end because MTN, Glo, Etisalat, or Airtel, they are not receiving your signals. You get what I'm saying? Then you settle down at that time. There's no magic about it. I have found out. You know, each person has his way that he's used to. You understand? Like David. David knew how he was going to tackle Goliath based on how he's been tackling the bear and tackling the lion. Do you understand that point? All right. So you should know. Some people go there and start pacing. If you like to pace and run up and down, fine. What works for me personally is I take a book, I take a Bible. I can walk up and down to keep myself alert and concentrated, all right? And I read. Sometimes I just pick a book that doesn't even look like it's addressing the matter, a book like maybe a book on the second coming of Christ. Once I focus on that which is spiritual, are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, that's how I get the connection. Then I start thinking about what I'm thinking. Because if you go and read the Bible, you see that the Bible says that Moses, when God saw that he turned aside to look. Are you getting my point? God had to attract his attention. He said he turned aside to do what? To look. That was when he spoke. He used that burning bush to make him turn aside and look. You go and read when Daniel was interpreting the dream also for Nebuchadnezzar. He said, while you were in your bed, your thoughts went towards those things that will happen in the future. Then God began to reveal them to you. You understand my point? God often has a difficult time revealing things to you that you are not turning your mind towards. So, when bush starts burning, we'll talk about it maybe another time. When the bush starts burning, when the ministry is having problems, when the business is having issues, are you getting what I'm saying? When the marriage is doing like this, when the boat is shaking like this, your car is breaking down every other day, and this is the car you used to do business. It's called bush burning. Tell your neighbor, bush burning. You are not dead yet. That's how I know it's bush burning. The business has not collapsed yet. That's why I know it's bush burning. Just that sales are not good. That's bush burning. Then, that is the time to do what I'm saying. Let me say it again, so you can know I'm the one that said it. You don't need to be hungry. Excessive hunger is a hindrance to the spirit. Most of the visions you have at that time is called hallucination. Hunger is what is, I'm telling you, hunger is what's making you, that's why you come out, you are more confused than before. Listen, when you are hungry, you see things. One day we're discussing these things. One boy was telling me there's a time they used to fast a lot. That time, he used to see things. I said, my brother, come. Don't be deceived. Don't tell me it is God. It's not God. Tell your neighbor it's hypoglycemia. Those who are medically inclined, you know what I'm saying? I'm warning you now. Don't spend time rebuking the hunger. Just take a cup of, you know, some people don't eat breakfast. It's good. If you don't, fine. I'm not saying you're going to eat breakfast by force. If you're a type that normally eat breakfast, and your breakfast normally is okpa with moi moi and beans, that one is risky. Some people eat all kinds of funny things. And they'll tell you, try it. Why should I try it? I should try what? Okpa with moi moi and beans and egg. What kind of... Now let me try it. I'm not trying to forget it. That one is guaranteed to send you to sleep. So if you are the type that normally things like that, no, stop it. That one is not good. What I'm trying to say is this. Let me say it again. What you need is that turning aside to look. Do you understand my point? It is not the beating of the flesh into hibernation. No. You are not subduing the flesh like that. No. What you need is something that will help you concentrate. You work in an office where they work morning till night, take a leave. If somebody died now, you take casual leave to go for burial. If your boat is burning, also take bush is burning, also take casual leave to find out what to do. Are you getting my point? Hey, I don't know why I'm just stuck on this. I was supposed to just dispense it quickly, but I'm sure you're enjoying it. So let's just continue teaching it, all right? That's what it is. If you can take casual leave, say, my uncle died, you are going for funeral, you should be able to take casual leave. After all, this is how you write it, for pressing personal issues. Is that not what they write? To have direction in your life is more important than to have your uncle buried, because at that burial, you're not the only person. After all, your cousin in America did not come. Did he come? It's true. Sometimes a man's son himself, he did not show. You that's Nigerian, I want to die because of it. If you can go for that barrier, you can also take that one day off to find out the direction for your life when your bush is burning. All right? I know when I went into that, but I hope I've dispensed of it so that's when you really need this. I need to take time out. You need to have direction. Why? Bush is burning. You're not trying to kill the fire. A lot of times Christians were so emphatic on killing the fire. And let me say it again, you know, today, I call somebody today. You get some color tunes when you go here, you go laugh. I call one guy today. You know the color tune we are here? You know, there are all kinds of color tunes. There was, I will vote for good Lord Jonah, that one. There are all kinds of, in fact, I hate color tunes. When they start singing, I put it away. Say, I don't want you to put the music in my head. You know, when you put the phone like this, the music is just entering your head. I don't like it. Once I see you use color tune, when I call you, I carry the phone away like this. I'll be staring at the screen. When the thing starts counting, I know you have answered. This one, I will put on for a year. What thing I hear? Everywhere where they carry your name, go. They go lost. I hear amen. I said, is there people that are carrying your name about? They will lost. See the amen. Whenever they call your name for evil, they're not going to speak again. My God, that is the hottest color tune I've heard in recent times. So the Lord is good. A lot of our people, that's what we like. We want to kill the fire. The bush is burning. We want to kill that fire. We don't turn around to investigate why the bush should be burning. All the fire burning in this bush. Holy Ghost water against you, quench. Sometimes pause and ask yourself, since this in this office, they've been troubling me in the last 1 month. I have not been sacked. That is, this fire has been burning, but they have not been consumed. Do you get what I'm going to explain? This business has not been doing very well over the last few months. But at least we have been paying staff, and we have been able to keep ourselves afloat. What does that mean? This fire is burning, we are not consumed. Instead of going to, you know, I've told you, nobody is pursuing you. I'm sorry I have to keep saying this, because I have seen too many Christians who people are pursuing, that they think people are pursuing them. Nobody can pursue you. Did I hear an amen? I'm not saying everybody likes you. Did I say so? In fact, I know 15 people that don't like you alone. I don't know them really, but I know they are more than 15. As for me, they are more than 1,000. So how do you know? For every place they broadcast your messages, there should be at least a few people that don't like the sound of your voice. So I didn't say everybody likes you. Did I say so? But I'm saying whether they like you or not, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? What happens? I fear no evil. So forget all of these ones that people are pursuing me. I don't know what is happening. When your bush is burning, what do? You turn aside to look. And how do you turn aside to do what I'm talking about? Take some time off. Go to a corner. Take a few days until you have understanding, until you have direction. I mean, I've been talking to Israel and Yinka and a few people over there. That's about Kingdom World Ministry. That look, I will say something that I'm suspicious about, that I'm not happy about. I'm feeling one kind about this. Not like any devil is pursuing me. I just know that I have to change direction. I have to make some decisions. I have to do some things. And you are not supposed to be rash about it. Okay, when Bishop Oyedepo had this issue, this was what he did. It's your name, Bishop Oyedepo. You know who even made you bishop? You get what I'm trying to explain? That was his own issue. He may have told you the testimony. This happened and I did this. You go and find out what you are supposed to do. And the only way, there's no book about it, though. That is when Christians fast, and that is when they pray and fast to, you know, waiting upon the Lord like that. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? I went into that, down the explain an issue that there are times we take time out, all right, to the issue of time out now, to pray. But let's get back to what I was saying, the issue of praying without ceasing. Now, beyond those times that is necessary, most times prayer is on the spot. I don't know what I said. Prayer is when? On the spot, there and then. Some believe that unless you are hungry, it's not efficacious. Listen, it is efficacious because it's not by your power. Amen? Some of this, I must fast before I pray thing, is flesh. What did I say? It's flesh, it's self-righteousness. I fast before I pray. Is that not in the scriptures there? You see it? Ah, this problem, bring them back later. Why? I just chop finish and I'm on the yam. You know, that kind of prayer, not the cross roof. Say, what do I do, Pastor? Say, just go. When shall I come back? The doctors say it takes about 2 hours for the stomach to empty halfway. And then fully empty. Okay, just 5 hours. I should be hungry by then. The Lord is good. Tell your neighbor, it's not necessary. It's not necessary. Let me say it like this. Hunger does not improve the potency of your prayer. You hear what I said? It doesn't. What I'm going to emphasize is this. Is pray without what? Ceasing. Men ought always. It sounds funny, but you get home, everybody's being bitten by mosquitoes. Are you the only one in the neighborhood? Even if you are not the only one in the neighborhood, even if it's biting everybody, must it bite you like it's biting everybody else? If it's enough to concern you, it's enough to pray about. If you like the mosquito, say, over Anofele, you don't come. Then don't pray about it. You know where Anofele is. you get a nickname, Nana, your friend. Enough. You know what I'm saying? If he's not your friend, if he doesn't, you don't have a nickname and no fellow for the guy, then it's enough to pray about if disturbing your soul. I am serious. The Lord will give you wisdom on how to solve it. Don't just get used to something that is bad. You know, no, once it's January, I always fall sick. You know, the dust at that time, it worries my brain, my sinuses, and the back of my neck. Don't worry, it will soon pass. The Bible says men ought always to pray. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. If it disturbs you, if it's enough for you to notice about it, for you to be concerned about it, if it's enough for you to notice, then it's big enough for you to pray about. Why people don't pray about a lot of things is that they think they have to go and take time out. See, if you have to call fasting and prayer for family for 3 days, call for mosquitoes, when are we going to handle the witches in the village? So it's okay, let's live with the mosquitoes, then we'll use the time for more serious things. But if they understood that, no, it's not like that, right there on the spot, do you understand my point? Right there on the spot, you pray the kind of prayer that is necessary. Bombings in Nigeria, let's not forget that. I said it's a war of attrition. We said this some time ago. Let me say it again. When we're reading the story of Elijah, no, not Elijah. Is it Elijah? Elisha now. My father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. It's Elisha. When he died, he told the king, strike. And that one struck the ground how many times? 3 times. And he now said, why didn't you strike 5 times or 6 times? Then you will have defeated Aram until you have consumed it. And I said, then what does that mean? If Israel had fought Aram, of course, he said, the Bible basically is on record that they fought Aram 3 times and they won 3 times, but Aram still got up again. That's Syria, all right? He still got up again. What the prophet was saying is that if you win the victory enough number of times, it will come to pass that that problem will not arise again. Let's read that scripture just to get it clear again for those who are wondering what we're talking about. 2 Kings chapter 13 from verse 14 says, when Elisha became sick with his illness with which he was to die, Joash the king of Israel came down to him and wept over him and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and his horsemen. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. So he took a bow and arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. And he put his hand on it. Then Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open the windows towards the window towards the east. And he opened it and shoot. And he shot. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Aram or Syria, for you shall defeat the Arameans at Aphek until you have consumed them. Then he said, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground, and he struck it 3 times and stopped. So the man of God was angry, verse 19, and said, you should have struck 5 or 6 times. Then you will have struck Aram until you will have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Aram only 3 times. Now, this point I'm trying to make. You see, what he was saying in effect is this. There's a certain number of times required to strike Aram before you can totally destroy it. Do you understand the point? We discussed it before. I just want to add it to what we're saying today. All right? Certain number of times. If you strike Aram once, would they be destroyed? No, in this context, would they be destroyed? They'll be defeated, but they are not destroyed, which means you have to fight them again. If you strike them a second time from this context, would they be destroyed? No, they will be defeated, but they will rise again. And this will happen a third time. If you win a third time, you also have to fight a fourth time. And what, using the words of Elisha, you will have to fight about 6 times, 5 or 6 times, before you will not have to fight again. Tell your neighbor, pray without ceasing. Even if the problem comes back. Do you get my point? That's it. You keep on praying. Because what happens? People get discouraged. Men ought always to pray and not get discouraged. You fought Aram once. And that day after that prayer, you were very happy. You knew everything was okay. And then you got a phone call 3 days later and things are not okay. So you think the prayer was not answered at all? No. Aram has just risen up again. And what's Elisha saying? Knock him down again. Do you get the point? I'm trying to emphasize the issue of continual prayer. I remember I said it then, that my wife and I were discussing this in the house, and my wife said, how would the king, all right, how would Joash have known that he was supposed to strike 7 times or 6 times? And we reasoned about it and said, okay, simple. There was no way of knowing that it would have been 5 times or 6 times. So, next time you are told to strike, start striking until they tell you to stop. He said, strike the ground. Why did he strike 3 times? It means that Elisha did not say strike it once. Did Elisha say strike once? That's why he struck 3 times. He said, what Elisha must have said, something that implied continuity. He said, yeah, oh boy, begin. So the guy strike, he look, he strike, he look, he strike a third time. He said, oh guy, that one don't do. You know you are sick, you're about to die. Let's talk about something else. The guy said, you don't stop. He said, I don't stop. Hey, why? What does that mean? If you are told to strike next time, keep striking. The man that says start, if he doesn't say stop, don't stop. In prayer, then what does it mean? As long as Aram seems to be rising, we keep on knocking it back down again with prayer. They have a saying in my part of the country. I don't know where, you know, these African proverbs, they're everywhere. So you may have something like that down here too. They say that if the lies do not finish on the head, the blood does not finish on the nails. You know what that means? Those days, you know, the idea that when the mother will pick it from the child's head, those are very tiny. So they tend to kill it with the nails. If you crush like this, it wouldn't die. You crush with the nails. And because they suck blood, they only have blood on it. So they have a saying in my place that as long as the lies are still there on the head, the blood will continue to be on the nails. You won't say that we have stained the nails enough. We'll stop killing the lies. No. As long as the problems seem to persist physically, the prayers continue without what? Ceasing. And that is a habit of Christianity we are trying to talk about. Christians are not allowed to grumble. They are not allowed to whine. They are not allowed to murmur. I don't know what's wrong with this CBN. They cannot even stabilize the dollar. You know, the dollar is against the naira. The naira is just fluctuating against the dollar. And the dollar is moving against the pound. And then the pound has begun to move into the yen. The yen has not come to affect the naira. Naira. Today, 165. Tomorrow, 162. How come it's 159 now? The next thing now, we do is 155. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ or Guru Maharaj? Make up your mind. Are you getting my point? Christians don't whine. Did I hear an amen? They don't grumble. Their words are witty. And, you know, you can imagine you have a bodyguard. It's going on the road. He said, okay, wait. Waiting. Rat. He pulled a gun. Pwah! Shoot at the rat. You go look at the guy and say, are you all right? So God, that was rat. Oh. This rat, they can kill it. They can kill it. They can spoil grass. They move after some time. He said, okay, wait. Boom! Shoot. Butterfly. You have the guy sacked on the spot. Before you go and injure me. And that's what we do. The weapons of our warfare. Amen? That's what we do. That's what we are doing. Say, oh boy, this country now, wow. Just take bullets and be wasting it. Anyhow. Can you believe it? Believe what? I heard that in Ondo State now, Labour Party, 10,000 AC people and PD people moved over to Labour Party. What's your business? I don't know what the country, I mean, the state is becoming a one-party state. This Boko Haram, the president does not even know what to do. Now he has appointed this other man. What is your problem? The first lady is now a permanent secretary. Hey, what is going on in this country? Praise the Lord. For us believers, it's not everything we comment on. And when we are going to speak about something, let's be careful what we say. Let me say it again as I close. There are words that must never come out of your mouth. You are not allowed 1 moment, 1 minute, listen, to insult the president. It's a sin. His vice, you are committing iniquity. The president of the Senate, you are not allowed to speak evil of him. You are not allowed. the governor of the state, you are not allowed. There are technical ways which are good and godly ways of expressing your discontent. This is our president. We will pray for him. In Jesus' name, he must do what is right. You're not happy? But you notice what he has said. You don't condemn. Are you getting my point? Listen, you shouldn't shoot at the person you are meant to protect. We're talking about bullets just now, right? It is wrong for you. The Bible talked about watchmen upon thy walls. It is wrong for them to fire their arrows at the people they are supposed to protect. Do you get what I'm saying? You have been appointed a protector of the leaders in the country. If you see me defend the president, sometimes you think we have a personal relationship. If I don't like the people he's appointing, you understand? I will pray about it. That's my duty. Why has he not sacked Deziani? Why has he not sacked Deziani? If I think he should sack Deziani, I'll go and pray, Lord, don't you think that woman should be sacked? Alright? If she should be sacked, in the name of Jesus Christ, I give wisdom to the man that's supposed to decide whether he's sacking her or not. And leave it there. If she's not sacked, you know what that means? It is the will of God. Now he has given the national security advisor post to a Buhari loyalist. Do you know what that means? I will tell you what it means. It means the end of Boko Haram. Stop soothsaying like Philistines. One of the things that will mark you out from today in your office, when it's government matter, you know they talk again. When people are criticizing, I don't know what this kind of stupid people that we have all over this country that they call leaders. You know why? You are a bodyguard. You are not allowed to shoot at the people you are supposed to protect. Do you think the people around Nigerian president or American president, think they all agree with him? Those guys that wear dark bones and wear long, those they are trench coats and carry small Uzis under the, what they call Uzi? Those guns that they are small but wicked. Uh-huh. Those guys, you think they all agree with him? They don't screen them to find out whether they agree with his policy. No? Whether you agree with his policy or not, you protect him against his enemies. And if somebody were to attack him, even though you don't agree with him, you will have shielded him with your body, pushed him into the armored car, and return fire before you disagree, before you check whether you agree with the last policy or you don't. In the same manner, Christians, that's the way we are. It is not whether I agree with your policy or not, or whether I am a member of PDP. Or I'm a member of AC. The issue is that I'm a bodyguard. Are you getting what I'm saying? Spiritually speaking now. And my weapons are what? My words. I don't shoot at you with them. I shoot at your enemies. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They are mighty through God. So, we are talking about weapons of what? Of prayer. So, the president does not know what to do about Boko Haram. How do you know? Number one. And peradventure, you were right. What are you supposed to do? Pray the wisdom of what to do about Boko Haram into his head. You see Christians gather and insult presidents? Listen, I'm not bragging as Mr. Righteous Man. As far back as the days of Abacha, I did not speak a word against him. In fact, the day he died, I quarreled with my friends for rejoicing. And God in heaven is my witness. I knelt down and prayed for the country for rejoicing that Abacha died. Because it is forbidden from the scriptures, you rejoice such stupid rejoicing. What happened when Saul died? What did David do? He killed the man who lied that he was the one that killed Saul. No, that guy was lying. He wanted cheap reward. David said, your own mouth has testified against you. Fall on him. The one fat guy must have been there. That's a joke, of course. They fell on the guy with the edge of the sword, and they smote him with the edge of the sword, like the Bible says. And David declared mourning. And he rewarded the people who took care of the body. This was a man pursuing him around, wanting to kill him. He said, what? He's the Lord's anointed. There was no rejoicing. If you rejoice in his camp, those guys will behead you. He now began to lament. Thy beauty, O Israel, is slain upon the higher places. How are the mighty fallen? Remember that? We have to memorize the whole thing, the days of Bible, not BK, those days. Now called CRK. Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Lest the daughter of the Philistines rejoice, and lest the daughter of the uncircumcised exult. I remember, I'm telling you, this was 1980. This one I'm giving you is from 1981. I'm serious. But that was when David composed it. Thy beauty, O Israel. Why? Because an anointed man just died. This was his arch enemy. A man who, listen, Saul was not plotting against David. He was throwing javelins at him to his face. Listen, you are walking by, your boss cocks a gun, aims at you, and shoots. That was what Saul did to David. But he refused to strike him. And when he died, he refused to rejoice at his death. And there is a commandment in the scriptures, the book of Proverbs. He said, don't rejoice when the Lord is judging your enemy. That if God sees it, he will stop the judgment. That is, the man who hates you suddenly falls sick. He's about to die. And you know once he's dead, your promotion has come. You now start shouting, God of miracle, now my papa. The man will go recover next day. Wah! When you come to work, you now ain't going to sing, God of miracle. You go, look, Oga, are you all right? Yes, I'm okay. The angel of the Lord came to me yesterday and said, I've been forgiven. You will go back home and say, Lord, what happened? He said, you were rejoicing. I want you not to rejoice. That is, you are not supposed, the Bible says that God does not delight in the death of the sinner. So the righteous man must never delight in the death of the sinner. People say, but the Bible says that when the wicked perish, people rejoice. That's like saying everything that goes up must come down. It's law of gravity. It's a natural thing. You know what I'm trying to explain? I hope you get the point. That is, if a wicked man dies, people will rejoice. It's natural. It's not a commandment for the people of God. It's describing a natural response of human beings. And even though you hear us pray sometimes and we speak judgment against the wicked, it's because it is written. I don't know whether I get the point. You see, there are scriptures that declare judgment against evil people. We have no choice but to follow. But it does not mean when one man, especially who's a leader in the country, now that you now start. No, no, no. When I remember very well, my friends and I, we quarreled. There are times I walked out of arguments with my discussion with my friends that this is nonsense. Because people were rejoicing that Abacha died. I said, are you people out of your minds? This is the president, the head of state of the country. I'm not saying he was a good man, but many of you are worse than him. You don't realize it. But most importantly, there are things that are fitting for children of God. They are supposed to lament. They are supposed to pray for the family. They are supposed to pray for the country. They are not allowed to rejoice. I quarreled with everybody. I want my brethren. In fact, I remember, which month did Abacha die? June. In May, during my convention, I was teaching a seminar. I still spoke up and told the brother. I had an argument with one brother earlier. I now spoke up during my discussion. I said, listen, guys, there is something that's forbidden for us Christians to be insulting and criticizing and cursing the head of state. I said, it's forbidden. I said, he's not your servant. I said, when God is tired of him, he will kill him. I said that 1st of May, like or 30th. My convention normally the weekend around 1st of May. So I said that in between 29th and 2nd of May. I can't remember. In June, Abacha died. I said to them, listen, let me tell you something, just by the way, so that you learn something. The more you pray for a man who's unrepentantly wicked, the quicker he is to the grave. I don't know what I heard I said. If you say, let's assume you have a head of state now, that is a wicked, he's just a goat head, you know, that kind of thing. Just a wicked soul. And every day, you Christians gather and say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for the protection of our head of state. We pray that God will give him wisdom to lead the... The more you say it, that prayer, when it hits him, if the prayer meets wickedness, it will make him sick. Good prayer. If you say, listen, Lord, we lift him up into your hand, your mighty hands. That's it. Wicked man in the hand, in the mighty hands of God, is going to be crushed. What am I going to explain? Men ought always to do what? Pray. Not always criticize. Men ought always to pray, not to pass judgment, all right, on the head of state. Do you understand? When God wants to speak negative things, leave those jobs for Tunde Bakare and Co. Those are prophetic jobs that normal men are not allowed to do. No, I know what I'm saying. And they don't say such things unless they hear from heaven. That's what I was telling you earlier. That one is not necessary. Do you understand my point? That, you know, I said something, I said, those are not prophetic words. You know, like, why can our president's wife be taking permanent secretary job? It's not a prophetic word. When it is time to pronounce wicked judgment, there are a few prophets like that in the country. There are not many. There are very, very few. You know how you know them? They don't go to the government house for dinner. You know, most of our other guys, they go. Those ones, they don't go. In a country like this, you know, they go. They are nobody's friends. Normally, when the president wants to see them, he will go and see them. Or specially sent for them. You understand my point? Take a presidential jet, and they come. He say, man of God, what did the Lord say? Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. By this time tomorrow, if you don't repent, you shall likewise perish. I say, oh God, wait now. Is that what you mean? Repent of what now? The Holy Spirit says, I should tell you that you know what I'm talking about. I say, oh God, wait, there are many things to repent of. Which one are you talking about? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. All right, I've overshot my time, seriously. Okay, I wasn't really lying that we should do any prayer. I just wanted to learn some things. And I hope I've learned something today.